you ever had unexpected guests arrive and kind of don't want even have them come, maybe? Well, John the Baptist's assignment in life was to prepare a people who are ready for the Lord to come. And we've been focusing for the last couple of weeks on the parents of both John the Baptist and Jesus and how God was preparing them to have sons, and particularly as they were looking forward to the arrival of Jesus as the ultimate gift of God to us. And we are seeing in Scripture how important it is for us to be prepared to welcome Jesus. Our text tonight comes from Luke 1, 39 through 56. And it's a text that brings together the two mothers, the mother of John the Baptist and the mother of Jesus. This is given right after Gabriel has visited Mary, and the last words we read are about the fact that Elizabeth is now 6 months along in her pregnancy of John the Baptist. Luke 1, beginning at 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This evening I've entitled my Christmas message, "Let's All Leap for Joy." It comes from the text in Luke 1 that I just read. Twice we are told in that same paragraph that the baby growing within Elizabeth leaped at the sound of Mary's greeting. This was a big deal to Elizabeth. Certainly by now Elizabeth had felt the movement of John within her womb many times. It's a joyful feeling. Now, I can't speak from personal experience, except that putting my hand on the tummy is when there's movement. With my wife, that was the case. But it's a movement of life and health. There's excitement on the face of the hopeful mother when she feels the baby move within her. It doesn't surprise anyone to hear the mother-to-be tell of what she's feeling. It's the feeling of joy. But there can also be the contrasting feeling that comes when there is no movement felt. Just ask the expectant mother who hasn't felt the movement of her baby by late in the second trimester, and you will hear of the anxiety of a mother who fears the worst. We experienced some of that anxiety prior to the birth of our twins. We prepared ourselves as best as we could so we wouldn't be surprised or shocked. We are thankful that they both came out alive and healthy, but it was an interesting test that the Lord gave us and allowed us to receive and welcome whatever the Lord would give us. The way we tell the story is that Stephen had so beaten up on Katie that she had hidden herself in the far reaches of the womb. We couldn't feel any movement from her. And quite honestly, we had some anxiety about that. So for us to hear that Elizabeth was talking to Mary about what she was feeling going on in her womb is a very natural part of pregnancy. But what is not natural is Elizabeth's statement that John leaped for joy. Coincidental with that leap was what the text says is Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. We know from what the angel Gabriel told Zechariah, John the Baptist would be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. So could it be that it was at this time that Gabriel's words came true? That at the same time that Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, so was the baby within her. And it was the evidence that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now the text doesn't tell us how Elizabeth knew that her baby was experiencing joy at that moment. But I would suggest that there was some very unusual movement going on. And Elizabeth equated it with joy. Maybe he was tap dancing. Or raising his hands. Something registered within her that John's movements were a leap of joy. The significance of this for Elizabeth was that it gave her prophetic insight into what was happening to Mary. Now look, folks, when someone tries to tell you that they are experiencing a miracle, we all should be a bit skeptical. Miracles need to undergo some measure of testing to verify that it is as was said. Is the miracle in accord with the will of God? Does it give proper honor to God and His Word? Is the supposed miracle being used to manipulate people? So you get the gist of my questions. So who would ever believe Mary's story? It was an unbelievable story. She would be giving birth as a virgin. But she had faith to believe it. And she had an angel appear in her presence to help convince her of this. What did Elizabeth have? It was the leaping of her unborn child at the greeting of Mary. But it was more. The Holy Spirit gave her an insight, a prophetic word, if you will. She received a word of knowledge that her relative Mary was going to have a baby, and that baby was going to be the Lord. The text doesn't tell us that Mary told Elizabeth this news. No, it was Elizabeth telling Mary. Mary wasn't trying to convince Elizabeth. If anything, Mary was there to confirm the incredible news that she had received from Gabriel that Elizabeth, in her old age, was going to have a baby. Now, that's such startling news. Who wouldn't go to see if this was true? So what a confirmation to Mary that she was taking by faith that she was going to have a baby, that what was happening to her was really true. And the honor that she had received was already recognized by Elizabeth. What a blessing it was to Mary to be in such a position. Her faith was affirmed, and Elizabeth was given insight that can only be attributed to a gift from God. She was able to say to Mary, "You are blessed because you believe that what the Lord said to you would be accomplished." I wonder if at that moment Elizabeth spoke under her breath and whispered, "I wish my husband would have had that same kind of faith when Gabriel came to him." Oh, I suppose she didn't do that. Now it's Mary's turn to speak. All we've heard from her to this point is that she gave Elizabeth a greeting upon entering her home. And the picture I see here is that Mary was like a fragrant jar of perfume as she entered Elizabeth and Zechariah's home. And Elizabeth, through her word of prophecy, took the lid off the jar, and the fragrance of the perfume filled the room. We know it as Mary's song. It's a song of worship. It's a song that testifies to the servant heart that Mary had cultivated from her earliest years as a child. It's a song of scriptural truth covering the entire sweep of the Old Testament. It's a song that speaks to the amazing fact that as a young, teenaged girl, she had matured quickly most likely from the wealth of Scripture she had stored away in her heart. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant." Folks, I still can't get over the fact that this is a young girl speaking. She exhibits a maturity that embarrasses me and challenges me. Her attitude is disarmingly powerful. She lives for the glory of God. She overflows with joy because she understands where her salvation comes from. She shows herself to be a woman of gratitude. These are expressions of maturity not expected from a teenager. She is so aware of the magnitude of the blessing that she's received that she acknowledges that for generations to come, people will agree with her that she was exceedingly blessed. She says and sings, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." Mary has an understanding of God that is vital. She sings, "His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. Indeed, God is merciful. He will extend that mercy to everyone who bows his knee to Him, young or old, from the beginning of time to future generations. Everyone who will worship God will receive His mercy." Mary also understands God's sovereign power and authority. There is no power greater than His. No ruler will topple His kingdom. No matter how far the arrogant despots of the ages from the past or to the future, their attempts to usurp the authority of God, they will be brought to their knees and humbled. As she says, "He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." Mary further understands the compassion and justice of her loving God. She sings, "He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers." This is the woman who would not just give birth to our Lord Jesus Christ, but create the home life for Him so that He could grow in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. She sets the pace for all of us to walk with God in humility, to serve Him diligently, and to praise Him joyously. We have reason to leap for joy because our Savior has been born. Won't you welcome Him today?